Hi.
I didn't know how I was going to start today, but I feel a little verklempt. It's different when you're chaplain or you're doing the platform. You do get the love radiating, but my goodness, y'all. It's coming up here in waves today. Thank you. I'm grateful to be here. When I answered the call, I was sitting on this front row, and I've offered the warning to anyone who's sitting on the front row that spirit is really strong up here. So if you're not in the mood for big things, stay back there. And I ignored it. I did. I ignored it. I had a very powerful vision that this is what you are intended to do, girl. And I said, oh, no. And then I did yell at my coffee pot over a conference call being a marketing manager that morning, saying, I can't do this anymore. I meant to be a bleep, bleep, bleep unity minister. So I found out what I needed to do, and I started off on the path, and I did meet it in record time to be enlisted in Unity and Seminary. So this is my second term. And I'm taking homiletics, and my homiletics teacher will not let us be back here reading off of paper. Homiletics is the art of delivering a sermon, for those that don't know. So I'm on cards, and my whoopee is over there. And to liven things up a little bit, I do have discernible me as my topic, and I was going to use Lazarus. I love me some Lazarus and Jesus and all that, and Ellen talked to me about speaking today, about 6 weeks ago, and it was resurrection season. I was all about resurrection. But when I started to get my notes together and my thoughts together, considering especially the announcement with Ellen moving on, Dad, when you got to spread your wings, you got to spread your wings. Yeah. And I was stubbing my toe on Lazarus. It was limiting. And I had to let Spirit take over, and we changed in the topic a little bit. Sorry, Ellen. So, last summer, I took what was the last of my SEE courses, the Spiritual Enrichment Education, and one of those classes was the creative process in the Bible. Reverend Ellen was my teacher, and we spent an entire week talking about Genesis chapter 1, just chapter 1, one whole week. There's a lot in there to be discerned, and the metaphysical interpretation and an application in your own life. But I was struck by how we just skipped over the very first sentence of Genesis, which was speaking about the darkness, what happens before the light, before the dawning of clarity. And that's kind of my thing. I always look for what we're not talking about, and I went to the darkness. So let me read this to you guys. In Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. So before there was light, there was darkness. It seems like a very simple concept, right? Why do we jump right to the light? We call that good. We skip right over the preliminary step. Why might that be? Because we're afraid of the dark. We can't see in the dark. And we don't know what's there. And it's human nature to fear what we don't know. Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, has written in the Revealing Word this definition of darkness. It's the ignorance of sense man, the absence of truth or light in consciousness. It represents the undeveloped capacity. And in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, he also says this, it is a failure to understand, simple as that. So So before there is clarity, the light, there's chaos, the darkness. So I turned to my good friend Google, and I said, Google, tell me about chaos. What is it? And it says, it's unsettled thoughts. It's issues needing to be resolved and puzzles needing to be solved. Does anybody relate to that? Like chaos manifesting and what's going on in your mind shows up and rubs you in different areas of your life. It comes as outbursts of emotions or disorganization in your personal space. So you guys might be sitting there wondering, Maggie, why are you talking to us about the darkness? That's a deep and dark subject. It's because we all have unexpressed potential. The rub, that thing that niggles at us, is what is calling for our attention in the darkness, that pause and allowing for the creative process to begin. We all experience it. It's the prequel. And maybe if you know what it is and how it feels and you can identify that sensation, you won't be as afraid to go there. So this is Unity of Wimberley, and I know y'all love the 70s, so I dug way back. And I got Paul Simon. Simon and Garfunkel, to be exact, one of the most creative genius musicians that I love. And he says, this is the lyrics to The Sound of Silence. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Okay. In the darkness, we have the ability to access those things that are not working for us. For me, the darkness is necessary. I have to allow things to surface. I have to recognize those things that are no longer serving me. They're not contributing to my highest good, my happiness, the most potential of what I am able to do, how I'm able to show up. And when you recognize it, it can feel uncomfortable. And here's the thing, you just have to allow for it. It's kind of like that pebble in your shoe. You can walk around with a pebble in your shoe, but it's not really comfortable. So you may not know what it is that is going to serve you better. You may not know what it is that will fulfill you or offer that sense of fulfillment. But don't be afraid to look anyway. Find what's serving you and find what's poking at you and what's drawing you into the darkness, calling for your attention. In Hinduism, there's a practice called neti neti, and it's the practice of personal discernment of what I am not. And I call this the not this. So I know what I am not, but I don't know what else is. So at the start of this process, finding what is not serving you might be easier to identify and peel back the layers. So for example, perhaps it's your job. Yes. And I'm in this job. Sure, it pays the bills. I'm not using my creativity. I hate my commute. If I have to hear that woman on that call one more time, I swear it. You know, that's going up in you, right? And you don't know exactly where it is or what it is that you want to be doing. You don't know what the title is, the company, what kind of money you need to be making, how far you're willing to drive, but you know that it's not this. And that practice can apply to anything, your living situation, your environment. If you're in a tiny apartment that doesn't allow dogs and you don't have a view of the stars at night, well, you know it's not this. You might not know where you're going, if it's the country or if it's just outside of town or whatever it might be. It ain't this. Right? That's the first step of knowing and getting clear, discerning what is not filling you, what is drawing from you. It's that thing that's internal, that's just desiring a higher expression of self. And getting there is a huge step. It's a big step because, and take it from me, because once you identify that, then you have to do something about it. And you'll feel it. It'll be like tremors and an undercurrent. And everything you do, you won't be able to escape it. You will probably yell at your coffee pot 18 months after you first said, yeah, okay, that's it. So here's my example. I was sitting on the front row. I did get the vision from Spirit that this is what I was supposed to be doing, and I ignored it. And during that time, prosperity class season came along, and I knew Ellen was going to ask me to come to that class. And if you've taken prosperity class, you know, poof, it blows the doors wide open off of stuff that is jamming you up, right? So I tried to sneak by. And she turned. Hi, Maggie. You're going to come to prosperity class, right? And I said, I'm afraid of what is waiting for me there. You see, I had the tremors, and I knew it was something big requiring my attention, but I didn't need or want prosperity class blowing the doors off of it. I needed my process. I needed to go slower and be sure of what I was going to do and how I was going to get there. So how did I do that? Well, you have the same toolbox, and we hear them week after week, but I'm going to say it again. Prayer. Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's other co-founder, in Healing Letters, she writes to talk to God. Now, this is Myrtle Fillmore, and we know that Myrtle knows that those prayers don't go anywhere, but she's a sensible woman. And she knows that sometimes we get jammed up in our language and our prayers and how to, you know, like, is it out in? Just talk to God. However that looks, if you're writing a letter, if you're talking out loud, if you're sitting quietly in your natural prayer practice, whatever it is, just to get it out. But don't confuse the universe. She says to pray what you say and pray what you do. And that means don't go into prayer saying, I'm ready for that new job. I'm open and ready, and I know that my right and perfect job is moving as quickly to me as I am to it. And then get to your job and start the woe is me, yeah, buts. Yeah, but I can't, and I don't know when, and I'm not qualified for anything else in 4 more years, and I can retire if I can just hang. So if you're praying that you're ready for something new and you're connecting there to your divine intuition and knowing truth, then don't go and talk out the side of your mouth, because you're going to mix signals and that will just, you'll just be in neutral, miserably stuck there in neutral. The second is going into the silence. So call it meditation if you want to. They'll probably get upset with me at seminary for saying this, but I don't meditate. I don't have a cushion in the corner of my house where I light a candle and hit a chime and sit still, because I'm in school full time, I work full time, and I have 3 teenagers and 2 cats and 2 dogs and all that goes with it. So I have to find time in the silence the way that that looks for me. And it does look something like this. Get up, let's go, we gotta go, you're late for school, get in the car. And it's, did you do your homework, what's for lunch, got your money, da-da-da-da, yep, good, okay, bye, love you. Door closes, radio goes off, and autopilot kicks in, because my body and my brain and these muscles know how to get me home. And my brain, my mind is wandering. And if I can, I still, 15 minutes, grab a glass of iced tea and go swing in the hammock for 15 minutes. And I'm not intentionally dropping in or anything like that. I'm just allowing for the peace, the settlement, and connection to come over me. So if you're a meditator, awesome, I want to be like you. But if you're busy and you find yourself reaching for excuses instead of the silence, recognize those times where you can grab a moment to allow that sense of peace and that sense of connection and listen. Okay, so you have to remember that this is a process. And I grew up with this saying from that man right there, God doesn't have a wristwatch. It takes the time. Can you imagine being me? Did you tithe on your allowance? You're creating your own heaven and your own hell. That's a true story. So God doesn't have a wristwatch, but through the process, you're going to get clear. And you will clearly know what it is that you are to do, and you'll know how you are to do it. You'll know what you need. You'll know what it will take to get it done. And through that process, you'll catch a vision. You'll start to imagine, power of imagination, what it is that you're moving toward. Through the darkness to the light, the chaos begins to settle. And this is the fun part for me, anyway. I keep doing that, sorry, Jason. It's working out the details. And I imagine the details being assigned a domino. If you've seen really intricate, fascinating domino outlays, you know, and you're like, how do they do that? If you assign the detail a domino, even in your mind's eye, and place it and recognize that it has a purpose, a connecting point from start to finish of your path and your design. Here you allow for the ideas to flow in and out. The right ones will stick and the wrong ones will fall away naturally. Bless them and let them go. Try on thoughts and ideas and ask yourself, what will it take? What's the worst that can happen? And what's the alternative? Get specific here. Reverend Steve Bolin at Unity Church of the Hills gave an entire talk about what happens in vagueness stays in vagueness. So you see the theme, right? Yeah. So not messing up with the universe signals and getting specific, because there's opportunity time after time in this process of stalling out. So I'm sure you have something that's kind of coming to mind, and you might be thinking, okay, yeah, but how am I gonna know when it's right? How am I gonna know if I'm ready? And will this actually serve me better than this? You know, is like the effort worth it? So here are a few questions that actually came from Reverend Ellen in the creative process class, and they are, does this vision give me life? Does it align with my core values? Does it cause me to grow? Does it require a power greater than myself? And does it have some good in it for others? If your answer is no, you're not clear. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. Go right back home and sit down and look some more. Listen. If it is, then move with ease, grace, and confidence, knowing that you've done the work. You know where you're going, and you know how to get there. Just remember this. Do not be afraid of the darkness. It is there for a reason. Remember to take the time to get clear. And don't abandon the tools, the not this, and prayer and meditation. And above all else, remember that it's a process. You can push the river, and all you're doing is tiring yourselves out. And I do that really well. But if you allow the process to be what it is, then you can't fail. It is a success. It is doing what is intended to do. So if you've ever looked at an intricate domino layout, provided that you're working with black dominoes with white dots and you look down at it, all you see is darkness. All you see is the top of the black domino. And then you've gotten your path ready and you know where it goes and you know how to get there. And then you set the first in motion and you see the light. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. If you'll take a moment to get still and comfortable, drop your shoulders from up around your ears and take a deep breath, clearing out the junk. Take one more deep breath, and as you exhale, imagine a curtain of darkness falling and quieting everything outside of you. There's nothing to be afraid here. Your eyes will adjust. But just allow a moment of surrender. And in the darkness, see if you can find what is calling for your attention. Where is the rub of discontent, or that thing, that seed buried in your mind that is calling for expression? You can imagine that it's not there and you can ignore it. You can allow it to cause a ruckus in everything else in your life, or you can recognize it. Acknowledge it. I see you. I hear you. I don't have the answers of what to do about you yet. Recognize this as divine expression, Christ in motion showing up as me, the light waiting to be shown out. So here, just recognize that you have the tools, you have the capacity, you know what to do to allow that light to shine. Thank you. power of imagination is at work at all times around this and every single little thing. There is a right and perfect path. You will be clear, and it will be good. I know this is so, and so it is. Amen.